This is Kent Clothier. If you are looking to improve your life, improve your business, and just get it all together, you're in the right place. Welcome to the Time Is Now podcast. Hey, hey, everybody, welcome to today's podcast. I'm really excited that you're here. In fact, I'm really excited that I have a great friend of mine here, a guy by the name of Eddie Speed, who needs no introduction. What's happening, brother? How are you?
How you doing?
I'm doing good, man. I'm excited that you're here because, as you and I have talked about numerous times, there is this amazing opportunity right now, especially for experienced real estate investors that I really want to do a deep dive on today that solves a lot of pain points for them. And equally, I just want the world to get to know a lot about your business and why what you do is so, you know, exciting out there. Because I think there's a lot of entrepreneurs in the real estate game that are one trick ponies. They know how to do one thing. And I largely could be responsible for a lot of that because I teach people how to do one thing. One thing I'm really good at, wholesaling.
Yeah.
But I think there's this massive need out there that if you could just learn a few other strategies in your business, it could create such a massive windfall if you're already doing marketing, if you're already, you know, actively involved in the business, creating leads, getting all this lead flow coming in, but you just don't know how to monetize more of them. And that can, for any business, can be extremely frustrating to have 9, 10, 15, 20, 30 leads come in and you're only able to monetize one of them. As anybody knows, that can be extremely challenging. You're effectively throwing away 80, 90% of what you've got out there. So we're going to talk about that. I want to talk a lot about basically investing in notes and a lot of the different strategies that are out there. But before I get into any of that, let's talk for a minute. Kind of give everybody a little bit of your background, right? Yeah, I know you're going to play the whole, I'm just a good old boy from Dallas, but why don't we just jump right in the middle of it?
Well, I started in the note business, right? I started buying seller finance notes, started in 1980. Started with my father-in-law taught me how to do it.
Man, you're old as shit.
I am old as shit.
But if you're old as shit, so am I.
So my perspective has always been in teaching real estate investors creative financing. I've seen 300,000 or 400,000 seller finance notes.
Incredible.
Right? So it would be difficult for any real estate investor to have had the vantage point I've had. So as you well know, for a long time, certainly the past 30 years, I've helped real estate investors with creative financing issues, right? Sometimes it was to create a seller finance note so they could sell the note right at the closing, right? Or right after the closing. Sometimes it's been like, how do you structure deals? How do you do, like, it's been different things because the market's had different issues.
Right.
But it's always been kind of related to that.
So let me ask a question because I don't want to interrupt your story, but I want to make sure that people, there are definitely going to be people that are watching this or listening to this that have no idea what the hell we even mean when it talks about seller financed notes or even cash flow notes. And so in layman's terms, the bottom line is when you buy a house or a piece of property, in most transactions, there are really two assets that are created when financing is put in place. There is a note, a mortgage, if you will, where the bank now has or whoever's acting as the bank has this asset, right? Basically a loan that's been created and it's secured by the property, but the property in and of itself is also the asset.
That's it.
And so there's two different things going on. If you can get a seller, if you want to act like the bank and put the mortgage in place, you can literally sell that mortgage to, and anybody that's ever had a mortgage on your house knows that this is true because if you had a mortgage for longer than 90 days, you've seen, oh, well, here's, we just sold your note and then we just sold it again. And then we just sold it another bank and another bank and another bank. That's what you're talking about, is that those notes are really mortgages and that what you have specialized in is being involved in helping to construct those notes and helping real estate investors kind of put those notes in place because that again, creates an asset, but can create a lot of other stuff that we're going to talk about here as well for them, right?
Yeah, no doubt. So how my career began helping real estate investors is to essentially give them the recipe, you know, give them the formula of how to make notes correctly. Because if you were going to sell the note in the secondary market, how that note is configured, how it's underwritten, how it's structured has all to do with what it's worth, mm-hmm. right? So I bought about 40,000 seller finance notes. So what I figured out along the way is what gave me that volume was helping a guy with a recipe. so that when he went out and cooked the pie, he didn't cook it the wrong way, right? And then it's worth more money and he can sell it and it makes sense. And obviously what we're doing a lot today is the flip side, which is we're teaching real estate investors how to get the seller of the property to carry financing. So in one sense, when you're selling the property and your owner financing it, you're gonna have a real rigid criteria. But when you're getting the seller to carry financing for you, you're the borrower.
Yeah, you want it to be as nimble as it can possibly be, right?
That's it.
Lots of flexibility.
Yeah. And you know, you and I've known each other all these years. We've run in a circle of, I would say, the top 500, right?
Oh, for
sure. Top 500 real estate investors. I would say we know fairly close to most all of them, and are certainly together we do, but
for sure.
Usually we both do. And what you and I have talked about so long along the way was that we were in a buy low, sell high market, right? You buy it at a lower price and you're going to sell it at a higher price, and that's your margin.
Right.
Right? Good business. And you and I had this discussion a couple of years ago where, you know, the market hadn't quite reached that point where they were really, 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 you know, wholesaling hadn't reached a stage where they need to reposition a plan B, how to go buy a property other than just buy low, sell high. And you've laughed, and as I call it, the Kent Clothier laugh.
it has a name and a life all its own. I agree.
You've laughed, and I said, I don't care anything about price. And you've taught thousands of people to care nothing but about price.
Right.
And it makes sense when we talk this through, right? It's so if it sounds crazy right now, it'll get better.
Right.
but the reason is there's two ways to wholesale a property, Kent. You can wholesale a property with price. If it's worth 100, you pay 75.
Right.
Or you could pay 100 and get ridiculous terms on financing. Both of them equal wholesale.
Yep. And that was something that was a huge epiphany for me. I mean, I could remember we sat right here in La Jolla and talked about this. And I finally had that big aha moment where effectively what you told me was you go into a deal, Kent, and you go try to negotiate your best price, and I'm going to walk in right behind you. And if I can get the right terms, I'm going to agree to pay them whatever they want me to pay them, and we'll see who gets the deal. And that was a very big aha for me, that if somebody could effectively walk into a seller and say, I will pay you exactly what you want, but it's going to be on my terms.
Yeah.
That versus me coming in there and trying to push the price down to get a substantial discount so I can effectively go wholesale it off, that, man, how do you win against that guy? How do you beat that guy?
Well, and there's really two reasons that happens. The first reason is what you're saying, which is they have enough equity. They may own it free and clear, or have 50% or whatever the number is, right? It can vary. They just have a real estate problem. They don't have a money problem.
Right.
They're not willing to take your discount just to get rid of their real estate.
Correct.
They want to get rid of it, but it's not worth that. But the other thing is the flip side, which is what we see a lot today, or how I'm helping guys a lot, is we're teaching them to go make money on a deal a wholesaler wouldn't even go out and look at.
Yeah, I mean they wouldn't even get in the room because they would have discounted it in the office and never even gotten the car to go take a look.
They owe 90% of what it's worth. The wholesaler says there's no point in me driving out there and looking at it. The lender's not going to take a discount and pay off.
Right.
So there's no point in me going and doing it. And I'm like, oh, no, there's tons of money in that deal. It's just a matter of understanding how to wrap financing around it and make it work. And so it's fun for me. I've told you that. I mean, like, I guess anybody that's been doing something a long time, I've been training for 20 years, been in the note business, 40 years,
yep.
Seriously.
Yep.
It's fun for me. I mean, I get to be an NFL coach.
Right.
I mean, I get to coach the best guys in the business, and I feel like there's a reason for that, and that is that 2 years ago, the market condition didn't require them to make a change or to add something to their business. Here's the good part. The good part is now that they've added it, and you know a bunch of guys we're talking about. Now that they've added it, they've woke up and go, oh my God, you mean I'm making the same money or more money than I would on a wholesale deal up front, and then I get a check for 30 years too.
Right. Every month for 30 years. Yeah, it's we're going to do a deep dive on it. I want to kind of get down into a little bit of a couple case studies if we can, really talk about some of this stuff, because I guarantee there's a lot of people like, you know, what the hell are they even talking about right now? Here's the bottom line. If you're a real estate investor or a real estate agent right now that acts like an investor or has the ability to act like an investor, and you only know either list the property or wholesale it, or God forbid, just one of those strategies, then this is what you need to be paying attention over the course of the next few minutes, because what we're going to talk about here is how you can take these leads that you're generating today. Because if you're serious about business, we clearly know that you're, or you should be, generating leads on a regular basis. You're investing money. Right. And if you're investing $5, $10, $15, $20, $30, $100,000 a month, sending postcards, direct mail, ringless voicemail, cold calling, I don't care what it is. I don't care what it is. You're investing money to be able to create leads that ultimately you can monetize. Well, you know, this is what Eddie and I have talked about a lot. You and I have actually talked about a lot, is that it takes, in most cases, it takes 20 leads to convert one deal. So
that's about right.
You're throwing away 95% of what you spent money on, right? Your conversion at 5%, you're throwing away 95%. You may do some nurture campaigns, follow up some stuff if you're a really good business person, and you may get another 5% out of it. But if you just learn one thing here over the course of the next few minutes and open up to how you could potentially walk into these razor thin deals, like what you're talking about, no equity, no situation, I wouldn't even go out to go look at that kind of deal. If you just had the tools to go turn that into money, effectively one out of those other 19, what impact does that have on your business? And you know, I say that rhetorically because the answer is it would just double it. But the best part of not only does it double it, it literally costs you no more money.
Right.
That's what I love about it.
Well, I mean,
you've already spent the money. You already spent it.
You're getting the juice out of the lemon.
Yeah, that's a great analogy, right? You've already bought the lemon. You've already cut it open. You've already squeezed one side of it. You're not squeezing the other side. And now all of a sudden it's like, oh, wow, I can actually get, there's multiple bites here. I can actually do this. That's what gets me really excited about it, because a lot of times when people hear about a new strategy, a new whatever it is, the very first thing that runs through their mind is, man, this is a whole nother side of the business. I'm going to invest. I have to invest a whole lot more money. I got it. And literally none of that is true here. You've already figured it out. You've already got the leads coming in. What you need to do is go invest a little bit of time, effort, and energy, just learning how to do a better job of converting the deal.
And what surprises people, I see this over and over and over, is they have no perspective of how much they think they're giving up. They think they're giving up all their profit for future payments. Mm-hmm. They don't perceive they can make profit today. Mm-hmm. They think, well, I'm going to make nothing today, and it's great that Eddie shows me how to get cash flow, but I'm giving up all my wholesale income. It's farthest from the truth, right? There are deals that you may not make any money today, because a guy may wake up, Kent, and say, I just want to buy where the seller carries terms for me, terms a bank would never agree to, mm-hmm. and I just want to acquire a rental portfolio. Mm-hmm. Well, there's nothing wrong with that, mm-hmm. right? If you ask me if I wanted to create a rental portfolio today and I had a choice of qualifying a loan at the bank, guaranteeing the loan, right?
Right,
and paying bank rates, or borrowing money from the seller where he carries it at below market rates with no guarantee, I think I'll take B.
Amen, baby.
So I may want to acquire a rental portfolio, but I like seller financing. I have a lot of experience with it. I've gotten the pleasure to train maybe close to, you know, as many people out there doing it as anybody. I think mm-hmm. probably so. Mm-hmm. And as a result of that, what I have found is that you can do every bit of this and still make essentially very close to or more the wholesale profit up front plus
get monthly
payments
income.
And close a deal you wouldn't have closed otherwise.
All right. So you want to get into a case study here?
Yeah.
All right. So let's talk. Let's kind of get down in the weeds. I want to talk about a very specific deal. I don't care which case study you take us through, but I want to kind of put it in practical terms for people. And again, the idea here is that if you are an experienced agent, a real estate investor, and you're investing money to create leads, what I hope you get out of this over the course of the next few minutes is that here is a way to take what would clearly be classified as either a dead lead or just a non-starter and turn it into money and real money. So let's just talk about a really good scenario here, how this has worked out.
All right. Well, I was telling you about a case study before we started, and this is a good one to start because it doesn't have a lot of wrinkles to it.
Okay.
Let's talk about some key principles.
Okay.
The biggest struggle that a real estate investor has today is the fact that there's so many people entering the business. The competition is just getting worse and worse and worse.
Buyers are coming in. Yeah. Lots more investors are being pushed out every day.
So it's just a whole new world that real estate investors deal in. This asset that we're talking about, this house that you're going to buy and structure financing on, you have no competition because the buy low, sell high guys will never ride out and look at it.
They'll just they won't walk away. They'll just never even get in the, I mean, they won't even enter the game.
So you laugh and you hear these stories every day about a guys meeting each other on the sidewalk, mm-hmm. one wholesaler going in and one wholesaler coming out type kind of thing. You hear these stories mm-hmm. that you're not going to see the guy on the sidewalk, right? So here's a deal that this was a house in Phoenix. It was worth, Kent, it was worth between 330 and up to 340.
Okay.
So it you can't nail it to the nickel,
right?
Okay. And they owed 303. They owed 303,000.
Basically 90%.
So wholesaler looks at the deal, looks at his sheet, and says, "No equity, can't ride it, can't look." Boom, he's out.
Right? Doesn't even get in the car for sure.
Here's some characteristics on this deal. There was a 3.875. So just call it 3 7/8. 3 7/8 more loan that was on it. And the monthly payment was about $1,500.
Okay.
And conventional financing. And the seller did not want any equity in it. In this case, he just wanted out of the trap.
Got it.
Life situation, need to move, that kind of thing. So you could, then if the numbers were different, the seller was different, you could adjust it. But this is this story on this deal,
right?
So the real estate investor, one of my guys, goes out there, makes a deal and says, "Okay, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to show you how to configure financing. And then I'm later going to take over the financing you structure," right? So he had the seller of the property seller finance it, but it was a wrap.
Okay.
And the way he papered it was he used a vehicle called a land contract. Now, you could paper it different ways. The reason he did that is because with a land contract, you weren't technically filing a deed.
Got it.
Right? Which,
yep, I got it.
Is for conventional lending, that's, everybody understands the power in that. So it was structured as a seller finance land contract. And then the real estate investor created an entity that was the buyer, knowing that he's going to go transfer that transaction to another investor, to a consumer.
Okay. Right?
And the buyer in this case is the most underserved buyer of property today. He's self-employed. He's commissioned or bonused most of his salary.
Yep.
He is an ITIN buyer, a green card, right? He's legally here. He's not a citizen.
Got it.
Those three categories right there. Well, let me just tell you a stat that just came out that every American citizen between the ages of 20 and 69, 74% of them do not have a mortgage. Only 26% of Americans between the age of 20 and 69 have a mortgage.
Wow.
Now you can assume some people paid their house off right?
Fractions of fractions.
That's basically 3/4 of the people walking down the street every day don't have a mortgage, and a lot of them don't have a mortgage not because they don't want to own a home or they don't deserve to own a home. It's just conventional lending isn't filling that box.
Yeah.
So I know that we can find that guy and that I can get a good down payment. Mm-hmm. So we structure the transaction, basically wrapping the mortgage. But when we create this wrap loan, it's not written at 3 7/8 interest. Mm-hmm. It's written at 7%.
Got it.
Slightly above conventional financing.
Got it.
Okay. What that means is the wrap payment is $2,000 a month and the underlying payment is $500 a month. Now keep that in mind because that's $6,000 a year in income.
$1,500
is the underlying mortgage payment to the mortgage company.
Got it. And he just did it at $2,000, so there's a $500 spread. Got it. $6,000 a year.
Exactly.
Got it.
Then the structure and the financing's in place, and you advertise for somebody that's going to take over that financing plus pay you down payment to do it.
Somebody that's just looking to your point.
Penalty box buyer.
You got it.
Right? They're good. They're not bad credit. They're not bad people. This isn't the old, you know, I'll finance anybody kind of thinking, right? This is real.
The system doesn't serve them. It's that
correct.
Simple.
This buyer comes in and takes over the payments on that land contract, but pays $40,000 down to do it.
And so what are they buying the house for? They're buying it for $340. So basically paying market. They're not paying over market.
No.
They're effectively putting a $40,000 down payment down. So now their mortgage is at $300,000.
Yep.
$300,000 at a 7%, I think is what you said, mortgage.
Yep. $2,000 a month. They can't rent it that cheap.
Right.
Right.
And you're making $500 a month spread and arbitraging the mortgage, and yep. you just made $40,000 on the down payment.
So I enter the relationship as the buyer of the property. Mm-hmm. I transfer my agreement over to the new buyer. And then I already have in place to take an assignment of the seller's land contract.
So clearly in the first year alone, this makes $46,000.
That's right.
Right?
And let me reiterate this, okay? The seller of the property created a financial instrument called a land contract.
Right.
And I help orchestrate all that.
Right.
Right? Then with that transaction, my company or my trust or whatever it is,
yep.
took that as the buyer and assigned that agreement to the penalty box buyer. He pays $40,000 down and takes over the payments of the land contract, the wrap.
Got it.
Right?
Got it.
Then I go back to the property seller and take an assignment of his land contract. Right? So I make $40,000 when I assign the contract with the condition up front that the seller fully understands I'm going to take an assignment of his agreement. That's this case study in this deal. You could carve it a bunch of different ways.
Correct.
So you say $6,000 a year, that's pretty good. 30 years, that's pretty good. Actually, the first lien pays off at about 27 years, so it gets way better at the tail end. I did this case study for a group of extremely sophisticated real estate investors the other day, mm-hmm. right? Very sophisticated. Everybody in the room had done 100 deals.
Mm-hmm.
Tallied the number up. This deal makes just a tick under $270,000 profit on a deal that nobody would ride out and look at.
It's crazy.
And I don't care how seasoned somebody is, it makes them sit up in their seat.
Of course, as it should. Let's go through a different one. Let's go. Kind of give me another scenario. I know you've talked to me in the past about the scenario with this guy up in the duplex up in Seattle. So let's just talk through some of the numbers there, because I know, to your point, the beauty of it is there's so many clever ways to do deals when you just get a little bit of education under your belt versus buy low, sell high.
Yeah.
Right. And you can just sit here and we could do this all day, quite frankly. I mean, we could do case studies for the next 4 hours, but I just want to kind of give people a little bit of a taste of what's really possible, because that's what got me so excited. Because I mean,
again, well, I think these deals show that there's a way to structure financing around a deal and make it a wholesale deal because of the way you structure the financing. The price is not necessarily a discount. Well, I mean, you're paying 90 cents on the dollar for the house, but that's not a big discount. Time you calculate real estate fees and closing costs, you're right there. You're at retail.
Right.
This second scenario was a guy that the customer wanted retail, which was a duplex for about $320, mm-hmm. right? But the buyer, the guy that was my student, my guy, he had a payment locked in his head. He was stuck on the fact that he wanted his payment to be $1,400 a month because he could rent the duplex for $1,500 a side.
So his motivation was, if I can rent the other side for $1,500 and then my side, and then my whole payment's only $1,400, I'm effectively living for free.
He wanted to live on the other side.
Right.
Newly married guy.
Got it.
You know, it's kind of that, you know,
yep.
And willing to live in a duplex and do that kind of stuff, you know, and say, you know, I can structure my way through it and make a free house payment.
Got it.
Right.
Which I love that.
So in this case, he targeted a list of free and clear properties. Now, there's a zillion ways you could do this, mm-hmm. but this is the case study on this deal. So he targeted a list of free and clear. He only mailed like 550 letters.
Got it.
He said he got 5 phone calls, and this was a deal that came out of one of the 5.
Got it.
Okay. They owned a duplex. The guy, this is in Seattle. The guy retired from Boeing. He's going to move out to the country. You know, he didn't want to rent a house in town. And they had originally bought their first property with seller financing, so they kind of had a heart for that. Mm-hmm. But the seller said 2 things. We will sell to you, but we insist on the first that we get our full price, which is $320. Mm-hmm. And the second thing we want is that we want to earn 5% interest on our seller financing.
So doesn't take a rocket scientist to see that 300, and how much was
my guy only down? Wants to pay $5,000 down.
Right. So he wants to finance $315,000 at 5% and keep his note at $1,400. The math ain't going to work. Right. That's never going to work.
So here's what happens. So this was a deal where we were working through the case study. And he was stuck because when he took $315,000 at 5%, even on a 30-year AM, the payment's too high. And if you made it 40 years, it wasn't going to fix the problem either, right? He was stuck.
Right.
He was disciplined enough to say, I'm not willing to close unless I get what I want.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
Which I like that. Mm-hmm. So he was stuck, and I said, look, just back into how much you could finance and make your payment $1,400.
Okay.
So he took $1,400, 5% interest, 30-year term, backed into it. He could finance $260,000.
So now he's got a $55,000 shortfall.
Right. So in his mind, he says, that's where I'm stuck. And I said, right, you're going to laugh. This is going to make you laugh. You ready? I said, write him an error note.
An error note. What the hell is an error note?
Well, it's zero interest, zero payments due 15 years in the future.
Wow. Okay. So that you write a $55,000 mortgage with zero payments.
It wasn't actually a mortgage. It was an unsecured note.
An unsecured note. I can't even say it. 0% interest, zero payment for... In 10 years. 15 years.
All right. So here's the deal. Wow. Okay. So people are doing the calculations in their head and they're like, oh my God, well, you still got to pay it. Well, yeah, you do. Okay. But let me ask you, Kent, what do you think the odds are that they're not going to want you to discount and pay them off early?
Absolutely.
Virtually 100%.
Right.
Right. So he didn't get away with it for nothing. It's not zero. But maybe he writes him a check for $15,000 and buys his note. Or maybe 5 years from now, he writes him a check for $20,000 and buys his own.
He's effectively, mentally, the way you look at it is I'm agreeing to negotiate my discount in the future.
Yeah. I mean,
here's my $55,000 note, but in all likelihood, as time moves on, there's a very good chance, better than not, that I will be able to buy that note back from the seller for, like you said, $15,000. And if indeed I've done that, then that $40,000 spread, less whatever payment, which you made no payments because it was 0% and zero payments, is all yours.
And the point there is, how many times do you hear guys that are that close to making a deal?
Right.
Right?
Right.
They're not 50% apart. They're 15% apart. Mm-hmm. They're 10% apart. Right. So that's another strategy of creative financing that gets you over that barrier.
So when you walk into a deal, do you always, when you walk into any kind of negotiation, you work with all these guys at the highest levels, in Europe, is there always a deal there?
No, I can't fix every deal. I tell you what I think I can do. I think I can take of if to use your number, the 20 deals, 20 mm-hmm. offers or 20 mm-hmm. scenarios that gets to one closing, mm-hmm. there's 19 no's.
Right.
In the middle of that, I think there's 6 or 8 real possibilities to structure some solid financing.
That's shocking, right? So basically you're looking at, instead of 1 out of 20, you're looking at 9 out of 20 or 7 out of 20.
Yeah.
I mean, it only, again, grows your business by 700% or 900%.
And let me tell you what happens. You know, when you're buying property at a discount, you typically are not buying the best quality property, mm-hmm. right?
Mm-hmm.
You're not buying the best neighborhood.
Sure, it's beat up, something. I mean, that's how you negotiate.
It's bruised,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah, that's how you negotiate the discount.
Okay, what happens in this scenario is the grade of the property you're buying, the quality of the property, the quality of the neighborhood, the quality of the people that would ultimately live in the house goes way up.
So these people, when you're sitting down with a seller, I'm gonna guess, and please just jump in, but I'm gonna guess that in most of the cases, they have no idea how to put together seller finance. They don't even know what it is, right? They're not coming to
the
you
seller
say,
of the property.
The seller, right?
No, they would
no,
never.
You're
think
basically
of it.
Bringing this solution and say, this is how you would do this. This is how you get your price, right? That you clearly want. Because is that the big motivation for that, for a lot of these types of deals? They're stuck on a price. They want
yeah.
that price.
Yeah.
Right.
They want price. Sometimes they want to avoid taxes. Well, if I can get somebody that's worried about paying income tax on the gain, we got us a deal.
Right, right, right.
Because obviously they're going to pay the taxes over time, and I can pencil it out. And I'm not going to give them tax advice, but clearly they're going to pay way less taxes. So sometimes it becomes a motivation.
So if somebody's stuck on price, or they're basically trying to, or they're leery of the taxable gain, and so those are two highly, those are two.
Or they don't know what to do with that much money.
All right, so those are situations you're looking out for. When those types of scenarios, they're stuck on the price or that kind of, again, the taxable gain, those are things that make your ears perk up.
No doubt.
Got it.
I mean, that becomes their motivation. You know, if you take real estate investors, the guys that you and I have hung out with, mm-hmm. as smart as they are, and when they do a head spin because you say, I ignore price, right?
Mm-hmm.
If that's a little hard for them to initially embrace, think how hard it would be for the seller to understand the distinction of it. Because everybody's drunk on what the HUD 1 closing statement says.
Mm-hmm.
They're drunk on price.
Mm-hmm.
So if you can get a seller that is that focused on it, and once again, nobody else is coming and solving their problem, right? It's not like your competition goes in there and solves their problem. They have a problem that is not being solved.
And so you're walking in effectively saying, okay, I'll give you the price. But if I'm going to give you the price, it's going to be on my terms. And let's talk about what that starts to look like. And I know there's an entire process, but that's effectively
yeah.
how it gets going.
I refer to it as dictating the terms.
Yeah. You get your price, I get to dictate the terms.
Now, let me remind you of this. So far, we've talked about interest rate and down payment.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
That's 2 of 50 things I may could negotiate. So let me tell you one more story.
Sure.
I got a guy, you know this guy.
Okay.
He lives in Atlanta. He bought 14 rental houses.
Okay.
Okay. On terms.
As a package. Okay, got it.
Typical deal, somebody, retiring landlord kind of thing, bought 14 houses. He paid $50,000 down.
Okay.
But at the closing, they released 2 of the houses. It wasn't part of the mortgage.
Okay.
He sells those houses for $150,000.
Wow.
Now, and his debt service on the remaining houses is like 2% interest.
Wow.
Okay. So that is another term. Is that a lender wouldn't have done that, right? A bank or hard money lender, nope, they wouldn't have done that. But that doesn't mean a seller won't do it. And he told me, and he told me this in the last week, he said that they, in a million years, I wouldn't have thought to offer it. And he said, when I offered it, he said, I was thinking to myself, I was wondering what the odds are they would accept it. And he said, they never blinked an eye. He said, because they focused on the $50,000 they wanted at the closing, and they weren't worried about thinking about it like a traditional bank.
So the seller released two properties
from the seller financing note, right? So they're not secured, they're not tied up. They're basically free and clear now to the buyer, effectively.
Which he flipped them.
And then he flips them for 150 grand.
Wow. And is that the substitution of collateral or the release of collateral?
That's a release of collateral.
What he would be negotiating?
Yeah, substitution is another issue, right? If you get super cheap financing, you go move that loan from the original property you bought, you move their loan to another property, which you can do too. But this was just...
It's the release of collateral.
So here's what I told him. I said, well, look, here's how...
I'm going to ask a question real quick. Yeah. So why would they do that? His reason for asking is obvious, but if I have 14 properties and I don't want these, was it because his $50,000 was enough incentive that they didn't think that was worth?
Kent, you're a sophisticated guy. You've been in real estate. You've been involved in lending. You've been involved with professional lenders forever. You think like a lender. Mm-hmm. That's illogical to you. Mm-hmm. Okay. I have seen 300,000 or 400,000 seller finance notes. Mm-hmm. I know what's logical to them.
It's crazy.
It's just, if you've never seen it, you wouldn't think of it.
Well, it's the same reason when I go out there and I tell people that we were able to buy houses for 60 cents on the dollar. They're like, who in the hell would actually do that? And I'm like, well, it only happens thousands of times every single month, right?
Right.
I get it. I'm almost talking to myself here. The sellers, for one reason or another, focus on different things. So, no, I get it. I get it. I understand the point.
Yeah.
It's crazy. It's fascinating that actually happens, but I clearly know it happens every day.
Yeah.
Wow. So, price. We've talked about interest rate. We've talked about terms. We've talked about substitution of collateral, release of collateral. What are some of the other things that people...
Well, I think just look at big picture for a minute. What if I told you, Kent, you can get a $100 million loan that you don't have to qualify for and you don't have to guarantee and you'll never pay conventional mortgage rates? Would you sign?
Yeah.
Okay. That's what you're doing. Yeah, you're
no personal guarantee, no conventional rates, $100 million worth of buying power. If not more,
you got to go find that deal and offer terms on it. And the term that what they will require as the lender is something that a bank is not going to require. And you say, Eddie, how are you so confident this is true? Let me tell you something. We price around 2,500 individual seller finance notes a year. We're in the note buying business, right? We price that many notes. Mm-hmm. So we keep a lot of analytics on those notes. One third of the notes we price are written at 3% interest or less.
Wow.
Okay. One third of the notes we price, the customer paid $0 to $5,000 down. I know what they're willing to do.
Yeah.
You just have to know what to offer.
Right. That's awesome.
They're willing to do things that in your mind, you're thinking, well, I wouldn't be willing to do that. I get that. I wouldn't either. But I have learned that there's a whole audience out there that's completely acceptable to them because they're getting the price they want.
All right. So I want to kind of shift gears. So people that come into your world, real estate investors that are trying to learn this as a skill out of the gate, and again, I would argue that what you're teaching is much more valuable to the experienced real estate investor than it ever would be to the newbie. I know both come at you, but I think that the experienced real estate investor that is creating deals or the agent that's creating deals and opportunities and leads, and this being another strategy that they can implement to monetize more, to me, that is just, that's like a sweet spot.
Right.
So when that person walks through the door and they want Eddie Speed and Note School to train them, what are the things they struggle with the most when they first come in? What are the things you see them, the hiccups they experience?
They have these thoughts in their mind. It's like the first thing when we started this thing today and somebody clicks in and they're listening and all of a sudden this guy says, I laugh at price, right? I don't regard price. Now, that's not always true, right? If I'm not going to get a discount price, then I'm going to get discount terms. Mm-hmm. So I'm looking for discount, just not through the same lens that everybody else is looking at it, right? If somebody starts out and can clear their mind Like, Kent, let me give you some fairly easy math, okay? If I borrowed money at 6% interest on 30 years, I could borrow $170,000
okay,
and make, and at 6%, my payment's about $1,000
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
I could borrow $360,000 at 0% interest on 30 years, and my payment is $1,000 It's that crazy.
Right.
Taking the interest out of a deal makes the amount you could finance that crazy difference. I could pay this effectively the same price per month.
A little over double.
Yeah.
Right? 160, 320, and you're saying it's 360? Yeah, of course. I love that. So I'm gonna say it back to you. Effectively, they're bringing their past into their present, right? What they know, their wisdom, what they've been taught, their experiences, all that kind of stuff, and they're bringing it in here with that kind of lens, like you just said, that this doesn't seem real, this doesn't seem possible. And when you approach it from that angle, getting acclimated to the information and believing it is going to be just that much more challenging.
Yeah, and here's the thing about it. We start out in talking about kind of the cycle in the market. It is because of the cheek in the armor right now of the wholesaling business,
mm-hmm.
right? That these guys that do so much business are now coming to us and saying, okay, now we need to change it because our conversions are going down and our profits going down per closed transaction.
Mm-hmm.
We're making more offers to buy one deal and we're making less profit on the one deal we're closing, right?
Right.
What now is happening to them is adding this strategy to their business. They're like, oh my God, I made $40,000 on a house I wouldn't even ride out to look at, and I wouldn't have made $40,000 if I'd have wholesale it, even if they wouldn't have owed so much money.
Right.
Right? Plus, I get a cash flow. And let me tell you about that cash flow. It may not seem significant to these guys at the moment, but let something happen in the market, and you're sitting there collecting money every month, and you're in a position where you can take advantage of a market change, not have a market change take advantage of you.
Oh, and it's coming. It ain't a matter of if it's coming, baby. It's just a matter of when, but it's definitely coming. We've been at this game way too long to not realize clearly that it's the shift and the change and the breakdown is definitely coming. It may not be as severe as the last one, but regardless.
You know, and people say, well, you know, this is something new I've got to learn. And I'm like, yes. Sometimes when you do something that will make you an extreme amount of money, it's going to require you to stop and take pause,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
The issue becomes, is it worth figuring out? And the answer is, to me, well, I just see the guys that have come into the market and that we're helping in this space that have added this to their business, and I see their reaction to it. Mm-hmm. And a lot of them have come from you,
mm-hmm.
right?
Right out of our mastermind, yep.
And they're like, holy smokes. And I mean, like, they're like, has it always been this way? And I'm like, well, yeah, it has. And they said, well, how come people weren't doing it? And I'm saying, because we were in a cycle where you could be 60% efficient and still kill it.
Mm-hmm. Fat and lazy. The market allowed it to happen, right? And so the really good investors, I mean, I hope everybody that's watching this or listening to this, there's a couple lessons here. Number one is that if you're actually in the real estate game, you have to have this. I mean, and we have now been an active proponent of this strategy for the better part of the last year with you. And I know that this is, if anybody in my tribe follows me and listens to the, you know, to the guidance that I try to give them as it relates to wholesaling, then they've clearly heard me, and if they haven't, they're hearing me now, that this is a must. This is not a, I think this would be cool. This is a must have. And because if you don't, again, your days are numbered. You're only a one trick pony, and yeah. One trick ponies get taken out when it comes to this business. Equally, I think there's a really big valuable lesson here that it seems like has been taught over and over and over and over again, and yet here we are, and it's about to get taught to a lot of people again. When companies, large or small, get caught sleeping at the wheel, they get run over.
Yeah.
And you go look at Blockbuster talking about Netflix like it was a, you know, it was never going to happen, or Kmart and talking about Walmart, or, I mean, all the bookstores talking about how Amazon would never make it. And I mean, you do not have to look very far or hard for example after example after example of people being cocky and arrogant at every level of business and thinking that they were never at risk. And I'm telling you now, you're at risk. So when people come to you, I was asking a question earlier, when people come out and they hire you, let's talk about that for 1 minute, because I know that you're doing these events all over the country on a very regular basis. You got people that are coming out. I know you kind of got the road show going on here, right? The Eddie Speed World Tour going on. When people come out and spend 2 or 3 days with you guys, kind of what takes place there? I mean, I'm guessing it's not a pitch fest. It's not anything like that. It's a hardcore, legitimate workshop where people are learning hands-on how to do this kind of stuff, right? I know we're attending one here in the fall, I believe, late summer. But talk to me for just a second, right? So people get some idea of what happens when they come into this little event with you guys.
Best way to teach people is case studies.
Mm-hmm.
So we just take case studies and we show the numbers.
Mm-hmm.
And then we can play a little what if,
mm-hmm.
like what if it weren't this? What if the customer wouldn't sell it with getting no money for selling their house,
mm-hmm.
just take over the debt? What if it was this, or what if it's that? And then we can start adding to it, and it gets you a little more sense of how to maneuver through deals that you're going to come across, right? And, you know, in all fairness, you know, I get the joy of teaching people, smart real estate investors, savvy real estate investors, but I get to show them some dimension of the business that they've never seen before.
Yeah.
And I have worked hard, and my team has worked hard at explaining it in an understandable way. You can be taught some financial modeling by somebody that's smart but confusing.
Oh, we've all been there for sure.
But my mission is that somebody learns this in a strategy that's definitely, definitely, definitely smart, and they actually learn how to go execute it. I mean, they can see it.
Mm-hmm.
And we just unpeel a piece at a time. And then sometimes there's three strategies we may use on one deal,
mm-hmm.
right? So there's, and so all these different things that we will ultimately show them, you can apply this, you can apply this, and it starts to make sense. So basically it's case study driven. Look, I'm a veteran. I've been doing this 40 years,
mm-hmm.
okay? I'm not some yell and sell hoaxer,
mm-hmm.
right? I mean, we want to show people what we've learned and show people that are doing it and actively do it and what that looks like. And let me say this, the real estate investor that has an unbelievable conversion rate and is closing 1 out of 5 deals, he probably doesn't need to add this to his business.
Right.
If you're not closing 1 in 5 and you're closing 1 in 10 or you're closing 1 in 20, I'm going to challenge you. I'll promise you that you are not getting the juice out of the lemon that is possible. The question is do you want that juice?
I love that. All right. So here's what I'm going to do, because this has been awesome. I love talking about this kind of stuff. I definitely want you to come back and we'll do it again. But all the contact information, I'll make sure that we put a link, you know, on the video, out there on the podcast. We'll include it in the show notes and talk about, one, how to get in touch with you on Facebook, on Instagram, on Note School's website, and even put a link in there where the workshops are as well. That way, anybody wants to get signed up and come out and spend some time with you. I know you got a bunch of cool stuff that you want to share with them. Is that cool?
That's good.
All right, brother. I really appreciate you doing this today. This has been awesome. Guys, this is been Eddie Speed, man. He's killing the game. And like he just said, he's out there, you know, working with the most elite real estate investors in the country right now, and taking that kind of mentality, that kind of brain power in a room, and then blowing their minds and making them stand up and pay attention and showing them ways they can be doing things that, when you get right down to it, kind of having that same epiphany that I had, this isn't like you're breaking them out and showing them, you know, how to go out and sell insurance or anything else. This is actually very, I mean, you're speaking their language. If you know how to do deals, then this is all going to make sense to you. It's just a matter of knowing how to do deals a little more creatively than you've ever done them before. That's what makes it really exciting. This is not a monumental undertaking to go learn this stuff. This is just little pivots that could turn into hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars, if not millions. And so, dude, I really appreciate you, what you're doing. I really appreciate you letting me be a part of it. We brainstormed on this for a long, long time, and then shame on me that it took me so long to get it. But once I got it, baby, I got it. Once I got it, I got it. And I'm excited that it's already started to come this far and this message is resonating the way it is, man. It makes me really excited that we were right here. So I appreciate you, brother.
All right.
All right. We'll talk soon.
See you soon.
See ya. Hey, thanks again for tuning in to today's podcast. I hope you enjoyed it. If you haven't gotten signed up yet with one of our award-winning products, I would invite you to go to REWW.com. Check it out. Whether you're looking for advice on entrepreneurship, you're just looking for access to our Real Estate Investing Academy, whether you want to attend one of our upcoming live events, everything you need is right there. Plenty of videos, plenty of free training, plenty of access to software and tools that will help you to become a really successful real estate investor. Again, everything is right on the site at REWW.com. You can also check us out at kentclothier.com.